Hi, I'm Jamie Soward. Welcome to another edition of Pow Wow with Soward. This is where I catch up with some of the biggest names in rugby league. Today I'm joined by Chad Townsend. I catch up with him to talk about reuniting with Sean Johnson, his love for the NFL team, the Cleveland Browns, and of course his premiership winning season with the Cronulla Sharks in 2016. Well, Chad Townsend, thanks for joining Pow Hour with Sourwell. Let's get stuck straight into it, mate. Did you know that you received your first try off a pass off your now coach?
Yeah, thanks for having me, Sourwell. Yeah, look, I did know that actually. It was something we spoke about, had a bit of a laugh about at the start of the season. And obviously there's a number of us that have played with John Morris before, and I had that in the back of my mind, yeah, that Bomber gave me the pass. And, you know, we speak about it, laugh about it and joke about it, but it is quite cool now that he's coaching us too, so yeah.
Run us back to the play. What was it like? Was it a good pass or did you have to make him look good?
Yeah, look, we had like a bit of a block shape in the middle. The middle was came out and Johnny hit me out the back and I sort of had a bit of inside support, put it right on my chest, and then I showed in and then got a bit of a legs tackle off Eddie Pettibourne, I think, and then I had to sort of reach out, keep my elbow off the ground, and scored. And I couldn't really celebrate because it went up to video ref. So, but yeah, you know, it was something I'll never forget.
Well, let's get straight into it, mate. You're a Cronulla or Caringbah junior, so playing for the Sharks really must be a dream come true. Let's go straight back to the biggest day of Cronulla Sharks history, grand final day. You're there just before kickoff. What was running through Chad Townsend's mind?
Yeah, look, it was obviously, you know, the lead up to the game was massive. You know, obviously the whole season we were just a part of such a great group, and you know, that was the season we won 16 games in a row. You know, we were playing with so much confidence, and then once the finals did hit, it was, you know, everywhere you went, there was shop fronts, there was houses, just with streamers, paintings, flags, just everywhere, right through the final series. And then it was pretty much similar in grand final week. You know, you couldn't really go up Cronulla Mall without, you know, getting mobbed. And there was shop fronts, like I said, just covered in black, white and blue. And then I remember waking up on grand final day and I was actually really relaxed. You know, obviously a huge day in the club's history. And I remember getting on the bus and the boys just had this aura about him of confidence, but also very relaxed. And I know Luke Lewis and Mickey Ennis, they always used to sit up the front of the bus. And, you know, you get on the front of the bus and you see the boys just doing the same thing as they normally would, just like any other game. But obviously, you know, the biggest game in the club's history. So the lead up to the game, you know, was really, really good.
It's a busy week, isn't it, grand final week? Because we're both massive American sports tragics, and I, for one, would think that a week off between to be able to enjoy the build-up and then have something else the weekend before and get a weekend off to rest your body would be a better product for the grand final. It's certainly a rush week. How were you able to control your nerves? Because I found myself really nervous, really busy. There's not much downtime, is there?
Yeah, I agree with you, Sal. I think the week off is definitely something to look into. Obviously, you know, they do that with the NFL over in America and it works well for them. But, you know, I think you find that, as you know, you're busy every single day with, you know, media commitments, you know, whether that's the grand final luncheon, breakfast, you know,
open
being
trainings.
Available to exactly, open training. And that can be quite draining. So I think if you did drag it out for 2 weeks, you know, it'd give you more space to sort of prepare properly for the game. But, you know, nonetheless, it was still enjoyable. I did find that week, though, it went super quick.
When did you know? Because when we won in 2010, there was about probably 8 minutes to go. We were comfortable on the scoreboard. Yours went down to the last play. So did you, after that last play, did it hit you straight away? Did you... Yeah, were you nervous? I mean, I'm getting goosebumps thinking about that last play. Run us through the thought of, you know, we could get this taken away from us. What do I need to do? Because it was a frantic last play, wasn't it?
Yeah, look, it was. You know, we scored that try. Fifita, Mickey Ennis hits Fifita with a short ball and he scores under the post with, you know, 10 minutes to go. So still quite a long time for the Storm to come back. And we just thought to ourselves that we needed to defend for our lives. And that last set, you know, I think we came down to the right and I kicked it over the sideline, put it into touch, and that the Storm had a scrum on their 10. And it's still giving you goosebumps right now to think of, you know, the defense. Yeah, but, you know, see how we did this drill throughout the year where, you know, there'd be 13 players in attacking the try line and we'd have 8 guys in defense defending the try line. And the aim of the drill was just to not stop moving, not stop working and get that mentality in your head. And that drill really won us the grand final. You know, we had that mentality of just keep working for your mate, don't stop moving, you know, no matter what, until the ball is dead. And, you know, you can see that when you watch back the replay of that last set, you know, you look at our right edge, which was Valentine Holmes, Jack Bird, myself and Luke Lewis. We all chased over to the other side of the field.
Yep.
And we're inside the left post and we're all on the right edge. And then the four of us just sprint back to the other side of the field, you know, just trying not to stop moving. And then they go back to the other side of the field and then Ricky Latelli makes a great tackle, and you know, once that horn went, it was just, she was on, mate. It was just, the tears were flowing. You know, it doesn't get much better than that.
Chad, you spoke about the special year in 2016. You had a 16-game run. Was there ever any moment where you thought maybe this isn't our year, or you had to just realign and get things going again?
Yeah, look, as I said earlier, you know, we won 16 games in a row, so we were playing, you know, some outstanding footy, and it got to the point where I literally felt, you know, if we didn't win the grand final this year, it would be a waste of a year. And I remember this one game, actually, we were playing Parramatta and we were behind by 8 points with about 10 minutes to go. And I look out to my right and Jack Bird is at right centre and Valentine Holmes is at right wing, and I look out and they're just joking and laughing to each other. So I yelled out to them, "Hey boys, pull your heads in, you know, focus. Yeah. We've got 10 minutes to go. We're behind by 8. And Val just looks at me and goes, "Don't worry, bruh, we're going to win anyway." And I just shook my head and started laughing. And you know, we came back and won the game, but that was just the way that we thought. You know, we had this belief, we had this confidence that we could come back, and we won a heap of tight games that year. So, you know, we were firmly had our eyes on going all the way.
I want to take you back to a moment, 2011, round 13. You make your debut at Toyota Stadium for the local team, Cronulla Sharks versus Brisbane. How was Chad Townsend before the game? Was he a nervous character, or was he just pretty cool, calm and collected like he is now?
Yeah. Look, back then I was pretty nervous. I found out on the Wednesday night from the coach, and, you know, leading the two nights into that Friday night, I didn't get much sleep, to be honest. you know, coming up against Darren Lockyer was obviously a dream come true, and the Broncos on a Friday night at prime time, you know, it doesn't get much better than that. And I was pretty nervous. I just wanted to get in and get a touch early and make a few tackles. And I had Sam Thaiday running at me, putting his fist through my chest all night. So, you know, it's definitely something I'll never forget.
I want to throw another record at you. You haven't missed a game in 84 games. Did you know that? You've played 84 straight?
Yeah, I did, actually. My head of performance, actually,
Andrew Gray,
told me that the other day. And, you know, it is a testament to those guys. You know, our team, the medical team at the Sharks, do a really good job at preparing not only our squad but individually as well, and tailoring a lot of training to individually. And obviously, you know, these days the halves and fullbacks do a lot more running and a lot more load than a lot of other positions. So managing that has probably definitely helped me, you know, to get that consistency in being available to play each week.
Are you a good trainer, Chad, or are you a... So I was a poor trainer. That's why I had to retire, because I got fat and my body. I didn't look after my body as well as I should. But are you a good trainer?
Yeah, look, I love it. I love training. I know exactly now what I need to do to prepare for a game, both physically and mentally. And you know, I love my training. I love, you know, training in the off season over Christmas.
Well, take us through that, because I remember reading an article when I was still playing. I think I was sitting down in and around Christmas, and this Chad Townsend, this young guy that I've never met before, is out training Christmas Day. And I thought, well, he must really, really want it, because I've been around for a while now and I couldn't think of anything worse than training on Christmas Day. But you make sure that you train Christmas Day every year. Why is that?
Yeah, I do, actually. I still do, and it's... something that probably was just a thought as a young kid, you know, this day is probably a day where not many other people are training, and if I can train and get a session out this day, you know, I'm one step ahead of the competition. And I always had my mindset on playing in the NRL and not just playing, you know, one game. I really wanted to make a career out of it and make the most of it. And I knew that if I was going to do that, I would need to be the one to make the sacrifices to train hard. And, you know, it is something, it is a part of my routine. Actually, my wife and daughter came with me this year. My wife done a little bit of running, and it was cool to just bring my daughter down the park and sit her in the pram and watch dad, you know, run some laps and do some fitness. So it was, you know, and it's a good way to just start your Christmas day. So, yeah, definitely still do it.
How has Chad Townsend handled fatherhood?
Yeah, look, it's been, you know, mate, one of the greatest things that's ever happened in my life. You know, it's changed not only my life, but obviously my wife's life in ways that we could never have imagined. Just this love, this new love you get, as you know, Siawe, you know, it's an unbelievable feeling. We're just loving every moment of it. My daughter turned one the other week, and we're having a party for her soon. So, you know, it's just awesome. I love seeing her smile when I get in from training. You know, it's awesome.
It's hard to describe, isn't it? Because we've both won premierships, and you think, well, yeah, professionally, this is the highest, apart from individually playing for Australia, this is the highest honour you can get, is winning a premiership. Paul Gallen spoke about everything that he's done in the game wasn't really capped off until you win a premiership. And then you have a child, and it's just totally different, isn't it? It just becomes, they've become your whole life. How does Chad go changing the nappies, though? I'm still struggling a little bit.
Yeah, you're right, Sarah. It's now your why with everything that you do.
Great point.
And, you know, I wake up in the morning and I get up and I go to training and I train hard and I make these sacrifices and I try to become the best player and best person I can be to provide for my family, for my daughter, to give her the best opportunity at having a great life. And I'm not too bad with the nappies. it sort of takes a little bit of time to get used to it, at how you're doing, how to go about it. But I've got it down pat at the moment.
Mate, I struggle with getting the clothes, like the little clothes on and that, the long sleeve, getting her hands through without trying to hurt her and stuff.
You wait till they get a little bit older, mate. It's even harder. And as they get older, I'm told it gets harder and harder. So, you know, that is definitely a battle.
I want to talk about Chad Townsend's life after footy, because I love listening to you. I love watching your social media, how you present yourself. You see the game. Obviously, the halfbacks probably see the game a lot clearer than some of the other guys in your team. But you're a YouTube video blogger now for the last couple of years. You want a career in the media. What drew you towards that? Because I know when I was playing, I was always interested in the game and wanted to have an opinion, probably divided opinion a lot, but you're well-liked by everyone. How are you going to go in the media, mate, if someone hates you?
Yeah, look, I haven't thought about that, to be honest, but it is a space and an area which I am very passionate about. I like reading in my time off and reading sort of personal development books. And this guy that I came across, his name was Gary Vaynerchuk, and he was massive on brand and brand development. And it didn't matter if you were an athlete, if you're a plumber, it doesn't matter, you know, using your brand to, you know, benefit yourself. And, you know, I've always thought that, you know, while I'm still playing, if I can get some experience and sort of move and courses and things like that, moving into the next phase of my life, I would be well prepared and I wouldn't, you know, be ready to retire from the NRL, and then all of a sudden I'm like, geez, what am I going to do now? So it's been forward planning, and as one of those things I have started is I started uploading some videos on YouTube, just a bit of a vlog, just about things I get up to, my days off, or, you know, other bits and pieces. And it's content that I can control and things that I want to put out. It's not just doing an interview on media day and then having that media network cut and edit and use things that they want to put out. It's me doing that and sharing a message that I think is positive. And social media's got a bad rap, you know, for a lot of time. But I've always tried to use it to my advantage and in a positive way. and you know, creating that brand, interacting with fans. You know, if someone wants to comment on my photo on, say, Instagram or Facebook, well, I want to like that comment and interact and reply. Like, this person's taken their time to write a comment to me. You know, why can't I take the time to respond and say, hey, like, you know, thanks very much, appreciate it, or like the comment? And it just shows to them that, you know, I genuinely care about, you know, the relationship. And that's more about, you know, building your brand. And then, you know, if someone were to say to a friend, like, oh, look, Chad Townsend responded to my comment and said, you know, thanks very much, like, I couldn't believe it, you know, that's, you know, that's just a small thing. It doesn't take much, but it creates a really good effect.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. I've been doing the power rankings now with NRL.com last year and this year. And on Twitter, you get the people that want to interact with you. And look, 90% of the time, they're passionate fans, and they come across and they're really not nice, but they're just passionate. So you understand that kind of thing. 10%, you get people that go out of their way to just write something nasty. But the question I want to ask you, do you think that footy players, you know, or, you know, athletes in general, because your point there about not being able to control the narrative, you can, because you understand it. I understand it as well. I think that passion for the American game helps us in understanding that.
Definitely,
you think that
definitely.
The players today, that it's that old sort of don't give the media anything, don't do this, and then you become closed up, and that's why we lose the characters in the game, and it affects your relationships with media. And I just don't think we give the media enough and then be able to work together, because it's such a multi-billion dollar industry. If you can get on that same level like you're talking about, interact and have that almost own your own brand, the game would get a lot more money.
I 100% agree with you, Sally. And as you know, we both know the way that American sports and their media coverage, like, they've got billion-dollar TV networks, and obviously, you know, the amount of coverage that they get, you know, 24-hour sports shows, et cetera, et cetera. And I think it's something we can really learn from in the NRL, and especially as players. Like, you know, you can use the media to your advantage. Yeah. And I think having that access and getting your point out there is a main part of building that brand and the culture, even in your club. Like I said last year, like when I think Freddie's, you know, announced that the whole, he let media into Origin.
Yeah.
Well, I brought it up with our club, saying, why can't we do that? Let's do it. Like,
yeah,
the more exposure and the more content we create as the Sharks club, or, for example, Chad Townsend as myself, you know, the more relevant our team will be. You know what I mean? And if we win or lose, you know, you own it either way. It doesn't matter. So, you know, I think we can definitely learn a lot from American sports.
Have we just become victim of sort of growing into this environment? Don't give them any locker room material. Don't come out and back yourself, because we are Australians. We like that tall poppy syndrome. We know how common it is. I mean, I look at a guy like Nick Kyrgios. I'm a huge fan of him. He's his own brand. He controls everything, regardless of what he does or says or whatever. He backs it up. He owns it. He has nowhere to hide. Are we a victim of sort of, I guess, days gone past, where it is that filtered down from the coach, you know, don't talk to the media, don't do this, and then we've all become negative, and there's only a few now that are starting to get it, like yourself?
Yeah, look, I 100% agree with you, Sally. 100%. I think those days, you know, have obviously been a part of our culture, and giving the media nothing, and you know, not saying anything that's going to give them ammo or anything for whatever reason that is. But now I think, you know, you want to use your position to benefit yourself and get the message out that you want to create. And, you know, even, you know, that attitude where if I'm watching a basketball game or an NFL game in America, and an NBA player comes up and does a huge dunk and then does like a celebration, or an NFL player scores a touchdown and his whole team, you know, has a celebration that they've planned during the week and they do it. You know, if we did that in the NRL, geez, people would be coming at us left, right and centre and saying, you know, all sorts of things about us. But then in America, it's like
it's celebrated
and it's celebrating it. And the fans love that stuff. So, I mean, I would love to see in the NRL from all teams, like, more celebrations. Like, I would love to see that.
Well, I'll get your thought on this before we talk just a little bit more serious about the footy. Adam Fanua Blake last week, all right, you would have seen the footage. He gets sent to the sin bin. He carries on a little bit. Now, it's divided opinion, but in my own opinion, I love the theatre and the emotion that goes into a game. I was an emotional player. I loved winding up the crowd. Yes, it hurt when you lose and you cop it from the crowd, but you live to fight another day knowing that you've got a game sometimes a couple of days later. What did you think of the Adam Fanua Blake situation?
Yeah, look, I think it was great theatre. You know, I guess in sports, they say you're either a hero or a villain. And in this example, like Adam Fanua Blake has been a classic villain. You know, he's been sent from the field and given it back to the crowd. And, you know, the crowd's interacting and giving it back to him. And, you know, it makes for great TV. If Adam Fanua had, just ran off the field and done nothing and just ran up the tunnel, well, we probably wouldn't be talking about it.
Yeah.
You know, it's the fact that we are now talking about it that, again, you know, whether it's right or wrong, it's relevant, it's more theatre, the fans like it, the fans have an opinion on it, and we're talking about, you know, rugby league. So, you know, I think it was good. Adam wanted to
express himself,
and, you know, if that's the way that he's feeling, myself, I probably wouldn't do it. But
that's because everyone likes you, Chad. No one's ever booed you, mate. I was down in Shark Park. I haven't heard a bad word about you, and you won't hear one from me. Let's talk a little bit of footy. Let's get into it a little bit. Cronulla Sharks, look, you've got some injuries at the moment. My read on the Sharks is it's a tough month, but certainly when you get guys like Wade Graham, Matt Moylan back, and Paul Gallen, and you're fully fit, this is a top five, top four team.
Yeah, look, injuries haven't been kind to us over the last few weeks. You know, we've obviously lost Gow for a few weeks, Matt Moylan for a bit longer period. We lost Woodsy to a broken foot. He'll be out for a few months. Wade's still out, not back due for a few more weeks. So, you know, we've been tested and we've had to bring in some young guys who are really young and really raw and new to this atmosphere. So, for us, you know, we just got to keep our heads down. And when we do get those guys back, I agree with you, Sal. You know, we've got a squad that can tend and can finish potentially top four. And we've got a lot of work to do, but that's what we're aiming for this year. We've consistently, over the last 3 years, averaged the top four position after the 26 rounds. So, you know, we're aiming for that again.
I just think you got a fantastic mix. I'm a massive rap on Matty Moreland. I know what he can do at the back. He really took one for the team, moving back to fullback, because he finished the year last year probably in the top three or four 5/8s in the world on his form in that semi-final run. You reunite with your halves partner, Sean Johnson, who you played some games with at the Warriors. How has that adjustment been like? I guess we haven't had time to really adjust playing with both of them, but certainly at training and that, how was it trying to play with so much talent but control and also make sure you put the team in right position?
Yeah, look, it's been a bit of a weird one for myself. Actually, the last 3 years, I've had three different halves partners. Obviously, I had Jimmy Maloney, Matt Moylan last year, and then now Sean this year. And it has taken some time to get used to back playing with Sean. But, you know, I've had those previous two seasons at the Warriors with Sean, and I know the way he likes to play. And I think the both of us with the mix of Matt Moylan work really well together. Obviously, you know, those two play a whole different style of game to myself. And I think these days that's what works. You know, I look at some of the really successful teams in obviously the Roosters, for example. You know, Cooper Cronk, excellent kicking game, excellent game management. And then you've got Luke Keary, who's just playing out of his skin. Absolute X factor, bobs up everywhere, is a great runner of the ball. And I think that's what we try and emulate. Like my strengths in rugby league, my talk, game management, kicking, execution of the game plan for the coaching staff. And then you add in, you know, some serious X factor with Matt Moylan, Sean Johnson, who can ball play out of their skin, have great running games, and also, you know, X factor where they just back themselves. So when we get it right, we get it really right. A few weeks ago, you know, we were able to put 42 points on the Cowboys up in Townsville, and that's, you know, was probably our best offensive performance of the season so far, and we need more of that.
Yeah, it was certainly probably your best performance in the last couple of years. I mean, that second half, first half was probably a bit hard to watch, but certainly the second half, you came out, readjusted and went for it. I've got two more footy questions and we'll finish with a little bit of fun. Quick one, I know you're very opinionated and I love listening to your opinion on everything to do with our sport, 5-day turnaround for you guys. You play the Premiers. You have to back up at home Thursday night against the Panthers. Can I just get a quick thought on whether that's good for the players or whether you think that the 5-day turnaround needs to go?
Yeah, look, I don't like it at all, and I think it needs to go. You know, after the game against the Roosters, obviously, you know, you pull up pretty sore, and that soreness doesn't really go for about two and a half to 3 days. And then all of a sudden, you know, you get one training session and then you're playing again. So for player welfare, like, I don't like it. I know the NRL has done a lot in trying to reduce the 5 days, but they are still here. And, you know, I would like to see them fully eliminated.
I agree. I just think that I watched you guys. I called the game on Saturday night, and looking at how physical that first half was, and you're right, the soreness used to be 2 days. Now it's 3 days. It's a real professional. You've got to get back on the field. You've got to the trainers have to train you because you need to be ready to go, as you mentioned, physically and mentally. I want to take you back to Saturday night. There's 10 seconds to go. You've got a scrum. Sean Johnson kicks the ball away. A real big moment in that game, wasn't it? Did the Sharks learn something from that, the younger guys that have come into this system, and what was it?
Yeah, massively. Sean and myself had a brief conversation before I fed the scrum, and I said to Sean, "Don't kick the ball." And but I think the younger boys on his outside were telling him to kick it.
Well, it's a weird play because they weren't. You didn't run. Usually, when you see those plays, Chad, you might do a run around or a cross and then try and bring the defense up a bit. And when Sean kicked it and it got cleaned up, I actually took my headset off. Ready to go down and get ready for the second half and take it away, because after that, I mean, we saw probably one of the tries of the year.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, there was probably enough time for two plays. I thought two plays might have had it. But, you know, obviously, you know, Sean went through with the kick, and after he, you know, immediately regretted it, just owned it, said, you know, "That's on me, boys. It was the wrong decision." You know, and he'll learn from that, no doubt. You know, I saw the fire in him after the game to, you know, just own that play and just move on and learn from it.
Okay, let's finish with a little bit of fun. What was Chad's first car?
My first car was a 96 white Holden Commodore.
Who's the boss of the family, you or Marissa?
Marissa.
Who do you go for in the NFL?
Cleveland Browns.
Are you a bandwagon fan? I'll give you the chance to, because I've seen the photo.
No, I'm not. I used to be a fan of Johnny Manziel when he used to play at Texas A&M for college. He won the Heisman Trophy as a freshman, and he declared for the draft. And I said to myself after watching Johnny, I was like, you know, which I didn't have an NFL team. This was in 2014. I said to myself, whichever team Johnny Manziel gets drafted by, I'm going to support that team. And he got drafted by the Cleveland Browns. So I went out and bought a hat. And as you know, I've put evidence of it up on Twitter, and think people have come at me saying I'm a bandwagon fan now that we've got Odell Beckham Jr. But, I've stuck solid. We've had some pretty slim years over the last few years, but, you know, we've got a good squad now.
Go out on wax. Where are they going to finish? Are they going to win it, or are they going to make a Super Bowl or win the division?
Yeah, look, I think expectation for them is to win the division. Whether they can win the Super Bowl, I don't think so. I think they've still got maybe a year or two to go, but division, definitely.
The last question for Pow Hour with Sow Hour this week with Chad Townsend, 2016 Premiership winner with the Sharks. Who is the better Brayley, Blake or Jaden?
Oh, geez, it's a classic, this one. Look, Jaden cops a lot of stick, obviously, because he's the older brother. A lot of the boys get into both the boys, actually, and a lot of them do support Blake just because he's younger.
Stop sitting on the fence, mate. Who's the better Brayley? Chad Townsend's having his last ever game and then he's going to spend the night with that person, who's the better Brayley?
Mate, I'm picking Jaden.
Oh, the old dog.
I'm taking Jaden, mate, for sure.
Well done. Well, thanks very much, Chad Townsend. Appreciate your time, and we'll talk to you soon, mate. You're going fantastic. Can't wait to watch you on all your YouTube, social media, Bill and Boz on Fox and NRL Tonight, all the good work you do, and, of course, playing for the Sharks. Good luck for the rest of the year.
Cheers, Sowie. Thanks for having us, mate.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Pow Hour with Sowie. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. We'll be back next week.